Great to see you. Thank you for being here. Looking forward to spending some time in the Word of God today. Specifically, we'll be thinking about what it means to call Jesus the Son of David. As you look through Holy Scripture, you see that Jesus is identified by a number of different names. The Christ, meaning he is the anointed one, the one set apart for a very specific mission by God. He's called Emmanuel, God with us, King of the Jews, the Nazarene, the beloved Son, the Light, Teacher, Son of Man, Lord, on and on we could go. But just looking at the Gospel of Matthew alone, without even going to any other place, the Gospel of Matthew alone, he's identified by some 40 different names. Each one of these markers, each one of these identifiers, provides insight into who Jesus is, what Jesus has accomplished, what Jesus will accomplish. One of the names to really think about, one that I want us to think through for a few moments together today, is this one, Son of David. In Romans chapter 1, verse 3, that was just read for you, identifies Jesus there in Romans 1, 3, as the God's Son who was descended from David according to the flesh. Then if you turn to the Gospel of Matthew, we're going to spend a great deal of our time in the Gospel of Matthew today. You see there in Matthew 1:1, it says that this is the way the whole Gospel begins. The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. So whenever we see Jesus identified as the Son of David, what is that communicating to us? What are we to understand? What are we to take away from that? How are we to be different? How are we to live in light of knowing Jesus better by knowing he is Son of David? We're going to make three different observations, make three big points, I guess you could say, of things that we need to understand about what it means when others called him Son of David, and for you and for me to recognize Jesus the Christ, the Son of David. It starts with this. I think that they would have understood, and you and I need to understand, to call Jesus Son of David means we're recognizing that God is merciful. That's the first point. God is merciful. We're going to note several different places here in the Gospel of Matthew. You can see those in front of you. That when the people on the street, when people that came across Jesus, when they approached him and they interacted with him and they called him Son of David, they had something very specific in mind, I believe. One thing that stands out is that very clearly the people had an expectation that the Son of David was going to be merciful. They had an expectation the Son of David would be merciful to them specifically. He was going to help them. He was going to be willing and able to relieve their burdens. Now, let's think very quickly. Mercy. To show someone mercy, it's more than a feeling. You don't just feel something inside and say, I feel mercy for you. Mercy is what we might say is a very practical outworking, a practical response to someone who has a need. So if I'm going to show you mercy, what I'm going to do is identify a need that you have, and I'm going to relieve that burden. I'm going to help in that need. If you turn to Luke chapter 10, you know there is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And in Luke 10, when Jesus is answering the one who was testing him about who's my neighbor, who is it that I should identify as my neighbor? In Luke 10, verse 36, Jesus says, which of these, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, which of these do you think proved to be neighbor to the man who fell among robbers? Who was the neighbor to the man that was beaten and was robbed and left for dead? Who was the neighbor there? And the man that Jesus is talking to says, well, it was the one who showed mercy, the one who bound up the wounds, the one who picked him up and packed him on his own animal, the one who took him to the inn, the one who paid for his stay, the one who did all of these things to help someone. That's the one who showed mercy. Okay, so we say all that as background to get to this. What were the expectations of the Son of David? What did the people think that the Son of David was going to do? What did the people hope to receive from the Son of David? So let's start first at Matthew 9. Matthew 9, let's begin reading at verse 27. Matthew 9, 27, Jesus passed on from there, and two blind men followed him, crying aloud, have mercy on us, Son of David. So there you see the two ideas connected. Hey, Son of David, what we need from you is mercy. Show us mercy, Son of David. He entered the house, and the blind men came into him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." And so he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith be it done to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame throughout all the district. Go over to chapter 20 also here in Matthew. Matthew 20 down at verse 29. We'll see a similar, not the same, a similar account. Matthew 20, 29. They went out of Jericho, and a great crowd follows him. And behold, there were two men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." And the crowd rebuked them. They wanted them to be quiet. Don't interfere with the work of Jesus. The crowd rebukes these blind men, telling them to be silent. But the two blind men, that says they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." And stopping, Jesus called them over and he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." And so Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. So here's the first way I would answer that question. What was it that those who called Jesus the Son of David and they were seeking mercy, what was it that they wanted? Well, the Son of David was going to give sight to the blind. That's one thing he does. He gives sight to those who so desperately need it. Here, with these blind men, it's very literal. It's a physical problem. They literally can't see, and Jesus touches them, and they're able to see now. But here's the spiritual application for the Son of David. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So here's the answer. Through Jesus, we can finally see. It's like the song that is extremely popular for good reason. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." We can see ourselves rightly and truly. We can see ourselves for what we really are once we've seen Jesus. Once we've seen that we are sinners who need a Savior, we finally see ourselves in a true light. We can see the world for what it really is, that this world is lost and dying, that the masses have been deceived into living for self, that so many are turning God's standard for morality upside down. We can finally see the world for what it really is when we see Jesus. Once I know Jesus as the Son of David, I can finally see. I can finally see. Here's the one who offers mercy. Here's the one who allows me to see things like I've never seen them before. It's only upon seeing Jesus, the Son of David. But then there's this. Go to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, not only does Jesus give sight to the blind, but he gives a voice to the mute. Matthew 12, 22. A demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him. So the man spoke, and he saw. And listen to the way the crowd reacts. The people who are there and know, "I know this guy can't talk. And now I hear him talking. I know this guy can't see, and now he's able to see." Here's what they said in verse 23. The people were amazed, and they said, "Can this be the Son of David? He's making people that can't speak, he's making them speak. This must be the Son of David. This is the one who comes and shows mercy to us. This is the Son of David." So the crowd says, "He calls the mute to speak. It's who it must be, the Son of David." Some of you have been through circumstances where maybe just temporarily, I think I even heard as I was walking down the hall this morning on the way into this auditorium, I think I heard someone say, "Somebody has laryngitis." I don't even know who that was, but I heard the word laryngitis. So some of you have been in those positions where you temporarily couldn't talk. What'd you do? Did you write notes? Did you use hand gestures? It was frustrating, wasn't it? To have even for an hour or a few moments not being able to speak. And then once you got your voice back, weren't you relieved? Weren't you thankful? But what if you were someone like this who's not been able to speak at all, and then here comes this Jesus, and he revolutionizes, changes your life? Well, once we know Jesus, once we know the Son of David, we finally have a voice, and we can finally properly express the deepest longings of our soul. There's so many other things. We didn't have the right categories. We couldn't see things the right way. We couldn't think about things the right way. And so with these deep longings, these feelings we had, we couldn't properly express them. But then once we know Jesus, once the Son of David has shown us mercy, we're finally able to speak and communicate those things that matter. And then there's this. Go to Matthew 15. We have in your notes there that says that not only does the Son of David give sight to the blind and a voice to the mute, but he also throws crumbs to the dogs. Well, if you read here in Matthew 15, you'll know what that means. Matthew 15, beginning at verse 21. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to a district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and she was crying. Here's what she's yelling out. Here's what she's pleading again and again and again. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. So there's another time. Have mercy on me, Son of David. She said, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he didn't even answer her. Didn't say a word to her. His disciples came and they begged him, saying, look, send her away. She's crying out after us. Her incessant pleading and begging, it's become a nuisance. Let's just get rid of her. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him and said, Lord, help me. And so he answered her, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she responded and said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And so Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. This mother impressed Jesus. She knew where to go. She fought for her family. She wasn't going to give up. She wasn't afraid to stand out. She wasn't afraid to be one who kept on calling out to the Son of David. You see, before Jesus, she didn't know how she and her daughter were going to go on. She didn't know how the next day was going to present itself, how they'd make it through that next day. All she knew was that she and her daughter were in a world of hurt. But once she came across Jesus, everything changed. And so for you and me, it's the same thing. Once we come to know Jesus, once we know the Son of David, we can finally be filled up. We can finally be sustained. We no longer have to be desperate or worried about an uncertain future. We might not know just exactly what tomorrow holds, but when we know the Son of David, we know the future secure. And then there's this. There's freedom to the oppressed that's going to be offered by the Son of David. Go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. We've seen the people pleading with the Son of David, be merciful to me and let me see. Let me speak. Help my family. Give us a good tomorrow. And then there's this, Son of David, Matthew 21, at verse 9. The crowds went before him, and that followed him, they were shouting, Hosanna, Lord, save us. We bless you. You bless us. Lord, save us. Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And then verse 15. It says, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that Jesus did, and they heard the children crying out in the temple. Here's what the children are crying out. Hosanna to the Son of David. The chief priests were then indignant. These people wanted to be set free. They needed someone to come in, to swoop in, as it were, come in riding on the white horse. They needed someone to come in and to save them. They needed someone to come in and do away with the evil powers that were hurting them and holding them down. They were confident that the Son of David could do that. They were confident that the Son of David would save them, that he would kick Rome out of Israel, restore them to their place of prominence. So here's what I want you to think about, the spiritual application for us. Once we know Jesus, the Son of David, we can now finally be set free. The guilt and the shame that weighs us down due to our sin, it's destroyed. He sets free. He saves. And so you and I must be the kind of people like those blind men and like the demon-possessed and like the woman with the daughter who was demon-possessed. I want you to note as we went through those accounts so quickly, did you note how many different times Jesus, the Son of David, didn't respond to the first request? That was sort of a normal operation for the Lord. Didn't respond to the first request. In fact, when that woman was pleading, he acted like he didn't even hear her. The pattern seems to be this great expectation for the Son of David. And then the persistent calling, the consistent and persistent pleading. And then there's the earnest confession that Jesus has the power to help. And then once you've gone through all those things, then you see that there's this call for Jesus. He says to them, you're to confess who I am. You're to submit to me. You're to obey me. And that continues to remain the case for us this very day. If you recognize that Jesus is who he claimed to be, that he's the Son of David, then you'll know he is the merciful one. He's the one who's going to relieve my burdens. He's the one who's going to give me a hopeful tomorrow. He's the one who's going to help me get over my terrible yesterday. He's the one who's going to show me mercy. And what he calls on us to do is consistently, continually call upon him. Now, in short order, that might mean something like recognizing him as Savior, confessing your sins and turning from them, being put on, putting the Lord on in baptism, meaning you are buried with him, united with him in a watery grave, brought up out of that grave, united with Christ, forgiven of sin, added to the kingdom. And now you see Jesus in a different way. You see him as one who has shown you mercy and will continue to do so. You approach him as the Son of David, who you expect mercy from. But then there's this. The next idea in calling Jesus Son of David is that you recognize that God reigns forever. It's not just a temporary reign, it's a forever kind of reign. Look with me in Matthew 22. In Matthew 22, we begin reading at verse 41. It says, the Pharisees were gathered together, and Jesus asked them a question. Remember, they had been asking him question after question. This time, Jesus turns the tables, and he says, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? And so they said, well, the answer to that question is, Jesus, the Christ is the Son of David. And so he says, okay, that's a true statement. You're right. I'll give you partial credit. That's correct. But let me ask you this. Do you understand what you just said? Because if it's the case that the Christ is the Son of David, he goes on and says this, how is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David calls him Lord, how is he his son? No one was able to answer him a word from that day. They didn't dare ask him any more questions. To know Jesus as the Son of David means that we know he both precedes as well as follows David. As strange as that may sound, as hard as that might be to comprehend in some respects, we understand that there's no beginning point to Jesus. To call Jesus the Son of David is to recognize that he's the not only the literal descendant of David, but he's also superior in a number of ways, including the fact that he existed prior. It's Jesus who has the power to rule over nations. It's Jesus who knows the hearts and minds of men. It's Jesus who silences the critics, and we must see Jesus for who he is. The Pharisees wanted to just say, well, you know, Jesus said, who's the Christ? They wanted to say, well, he's the Son of David, as if being from a long line of kings was enough. Jesus wanted them to see, and Jesus wanted them to know it meant so much more to call him Son of David than just say he's from a bunch of kings. There is historical significance, but Jesus not only crosses over through history, he's the author and the finisher of history. David's heart, David's exploits, the things we read about in Samuel and Chronicles about David, help prepare us to receive the true king. We're learning and we're shown the way to be prepared for the one, the king who would never fail. David was a great and powerful king, but he failed over and over. He readies us for the king who would never fail. David gets us ready for the king who would never lose a fight. David gets us ready for the king who would never let his subjects down, never fail them. This son of David was superior to the David in every kind of way. Jesus said, do you really know what it means to call the Christ the Son of David? I don't think you do. You think to call him Son of David just means he's one from many kings. I want you to know that to call him Son of David means he's the King of Kings. He's always existed and he's always now living. And then there's this. Thirdly and finally, to call Jesus Son of David, we go back to Matthew 1, where it all starts with this. Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. And then you read about what was told to Joseph and to Mary. Look at verse 19, Matthew 1:19. Her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put Mary to shame, it says, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, note this, son of David, Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Here's what we learn about Jesus and those of his family being called Son of David. God is faithful. God is faithful. If God makes a promise, God is faithful to keep that promise. It says in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Someone has said that God's not always fast, but he's always faithful. What they meant by that was God may not come and answer a promise and answer a request right away. He may not always be fast, but he's always faithful, doing things on his time, in his way. 2 Peter 3:9 or Romans 2:4, we see that God takes his time and he gives us time to repent. But think back through the history of mankind with me, going back to Genesis 3, and see how this relates to Matthew 1. In Genesis 3, verse 15, we see that it says that he, meaning the one who would come, the Son of David, he will crush Satan's head. The cross and the resurrection are alluded to here, but it took centuries before God's promise came true. Then you go to Genesis 22, verse 18. Genesis 22, 18, Abraham is told, in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Well, this was fulfilled centuries later when Jesus was born to the descendants of Abraham. Matthew 1, verse 1, Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Go to 1 Chronicles 17 and make note of this. In 1 Chronicles 17, verse 11, it says, To David God said, when your days are fulfilled to walk with your fathers, in other words, when you die, I'll raise up your offspring after you. One of your own sons I'll establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for me, and I'll establish his throne forever. We don't see that fully fulfilled until passages like Luke 2, where in verse 4 it says that Joseph went to Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David. And verse 11 says it was the city of David that a Savior who is the Christ would be born. Do you see the point being made going all the way back to Genesis 3 and Genesis 22 and 1 Chronicles 17? All the way through, God had said, a son is coming. The Son of David is coming. The point is that this couldn't have happened in any other place, with any other people, or in any other way. God had promised. The king who would bless the whole earth, born in Bethlehem to a virgin, was promised from Adam and Eve to Abraham to David. So maybe God wasn't fast, but he was faithful. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. He's promised to come again. John 14 is what Jesus himself said. If I'm going away, I'll come again and take you to myself. He's promised to come back. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. He's promised to judge the whole world, Acts 17, verse 31. A day has been set in which the Lord will judge the world. When he makes a promise, he keeps it. He's promised to punish the rebellion, Matthew 8, verse 12. He's promised to bless, forgive, and receive those who've been born again and bought with his blood, John 3, 3 to 5, 1 John 1, 7, Ephesians 1, 7. On and on we could go. You see the point being made. Did you recognize that every single time someone identifies Jesus as Son of David, that part of what they were doing was saying this: God keeps all promises. Because it was promised so many centuries ago that through him all the world would be blessed, that through him the kingdom would be established. To call Jesus Son of David is to recognize that God keeps his promises and that God is faithful. So let me ask you this. Do you know Jesus as the Son of David? If you do, you're going to come to him with great expectations that he's going to show you mercy, that he's going to supply you with what you need, that he's going to give you everything that only he can provide. If you know Jesus as Son of David, you will be in awe of his position of power. You'll be in awe of the fact that he's the eternal one who was prophesied about by the prophets of old. And if you know Jesus as the Son of David, you'll recognize that God is faithful and trustworthy and always keeps his promises. They said, as Jesus was entering the city of Jerusalem, he's riding in on that donkey and they're going before him and after him. What they kept saying was this: Hosanna to the Son of David. Can you celebrate and rejoice in the name of Christ in that way? Can you say, it's Jesus, the Son of David, who saves me? Hosanna to the Son of David. If you've never been able to name Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the one who has washed you and cleansed you, today's the day to recognize Jesus as Son of David and say, Hosanna, this is the one who saves. This is the one who blesses. This is the one who shows me mercy, and I so desperately need mercy. Jesus said to those men who were questioning him, do you know what it means to say that Christ is the Son of David? You might not, and that's a tragedy. Jesus Christ, Son of David, calls you to him today. If there's any way that we can help you, won't you come while we stand and sing?